I'm not a loser, but sometimes I do loser things.
In the event that this fails, they'll never be able to come to me and say, hey, remember that podcast you did that didn't go so well? No, that was our podcast. We did that.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to episode 22 of the In My Own Words podcast. Let me turn my round of applause up. There we go. That's more like it. Let me do that one more time. Episode 22, Deuce Deuce. The number 22. That means for 22 weeks in a row, I've been coming on this podcast, on the airwaves, on your device, your DSPs, and I've been giving some sort of value or content, I hope. This 22 weeks is commitment, right? I think it takes, 90 days to make a habit. So what is that, 12 weeks-ish, somewhere in that range, 12, 8 weeks. And so 22 weeks in, I think this is a habit. This is something that's going to happen every week, and I'm super glad about it. Doing something a little different today. You can see me today. It's a different podcast when you can see me. So when you hear me, I think that's one thing. I think your mind kind of tells you, one, if you don't know what I look like, your mind tells you what I look like. I've definitely had that experience before when I see someone who I listen to and I'm like, that voice doesn't match that face. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So if you're watching this on YouTube or on Instagram or wherever you may be watching this, I hope my voice matches my face. That's the first thing that I want to say. If not, then whatever. That's something that you got to deal with. I know I look like this and I sound like this together before you did. So that's something you got to deal with yourself. You got to quarrel with that on your own to figure out why I don't look like how I sound to you. For those of you who know what I look like, hi. This is this is something new that I'm trying this week. I want to see just what we can do to continue to expand the audience of the podcast. One thing that I've been doing this week, actually for the last 2 weeks, that I think I love a lot, and I've been capturing new attention, new audience, new listeners, and is putting a clip up on Instagram every day. So if you follow me on Instagram at Tony R. Sanders, every day I'm putting up at least a 1 minute clip of the podcast. And I've been doing that just with the graphic and audio in the background. Well, this week I want to try to do that with not just a graphic and audio, but video and audio, and see how that goes. Maybe that works, maybe that doesn't. Maybe it's a great idea. Maybe it's not a great idea. Maybe you like to look at me the way that you look at me in your mind when you hear me, and not look at me the way that I look when you hear me and see me. I don't even know if that made sense. I don't even know if that's what you want to do, but we're going to try it out and we're going to see. So happy Sunday, everybody. I hope you are enjoying your great Sunday, the first Sunday in April. Easter is right around the corner. You know what that means? Ribs. Absolutely, we eat ribs because Jesus was pierced in his side for Easter. None of that's true. We do eat ribs just because it's warm out, and we've been waiting all year for it to get warm out. It has nothing to do with Jesus being pierced in his side, but that is a good excuse to use. Let me see what's going on this week. We have to start off the show with a respectful wow and a disrespectful wow. Is there a respectful wow award? I don't know if there's a respectful way to tell someone that they're being whack, they're choosing whackness over wisdom, but we're going to try it. You know what? Let me get the bad one out of the way first. Let me get the disrespectful wow out of the ways first.
Oh my God! Wow!
You guys may or may not know this rapper from Florida. His name is Kodak Black. Now, what do you have to know about Kodak Black is what I just said. He's from Florida. And if you Google Florida man, look at all the craziness that comes behind it. Florida man gets wrestled by a gator. Florida man kills himself in a Walmart shopping cart. Florida man does all kind of insane things, right? Florida man is the craziest man known to mankind. And so when I say Kodak is from Florida, just know that he's crazy. And when you look at him, you say, yeah, he's crazy. He is also very disrespectful. Now, I would be an idiot and unreal, unsincere to you guys if I didn't come on this podcast and say rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. I'll talk about that more later. But when Nipsey left his children and the mother of his children. He left his soulmate, as she called it here, Lauren London. Now, for those of you who don't know, Lauren London is a beautiful young lady. She she's gained notoriety over the last couple of years for a lot of the things that she's done outside of even just her modeling career. And for the longest, I didn't even know her and Nipsey were a thing. I heard rumors and then I started to see them together. And I'm like, okay, that's a real thing. And she's grieving right now. She's going through this process of figuring out her life and trying to pick up the pieces. I've been talking to my family members all day about losing loved ones in our lives as we've grown up, you know, losing our mom and things like that. And one of the things that I noticed, and I don't think we really talked about that much, is how other people start to treat you different once that loved one is gone, right? Once that loved one is gone, normally the guardrails that were there start to slowly disappear and people slowly start to treat you, in my opinion, how they always wanted to treat you. They just couldn't get away with it when you had that guardrail, when you had that guardian. There are some things that happen, you know, after my mom passed, that I don't believe for a second whatever happened, my mom was still alive. And one of those things was what Kodak Black said on Instagram Live today.
My nigga, that's
the impact. Lauren running that baby though. She finna be out here single. She finna be a whole widow while here. I'd be the best man I could be, fuck. You always crash and burn, man. I'd give her a whole year. She might need a whole year to be crying and shit. I ain't trying to shoot at her. I'm saying this. Look. No, she could do 2-3 years, but I try to be like, if you need a friend to holler or soda bean or you can call my line.
First of all, Kodak, nobody needs your shoulder to lean on. Your shoulder looks like it stinks. Let's just call it that first. Let's start right there. The way that your mouth looks, it doesn't look like you have very great dental hygiene. And if you ain't taking care of the chompers, I know you ain't taking care of anything else either. He had his shirt off in this video, and I could smell. That's a new feature that Instagram added where you can smell what's on the other end of the screen. It's really great when I follow people that do dope things, like they go to nice restaurants. They post a picture of it, and, you know, if you shake your phone, you can smell it. I shook my phone, and my nails almost fell off because the funk that is Kodak Black almost melted my screen. So, no, nobody wants your shoulder to lean on, Kodak Black. That's number one. Number two, the disrespect that you have for someone, you are in almost a flippant way saying she's about to be a whole widow. I could holler at her. I could go to her and be the best man I could possibly be. As if you had a chance. What makes you think you have a chance to even be in the presence of a Lauren London where she's giving you the time of day? Like, I know that there are some ugly boy champions out there. And women, we need to talk about this too. Y'all keep throwing off the balance. We can't keep having all these pretty women, ugly, all of these ugly, marry all of these ugly dudes. We got to stop the inter-beauty dating. It's enough ugly women out here for the ugly dudes. Kodak, you deserve a nice, thick, strong-backed ugly woman, not Lauren London. Not to mention that she's right now trying to grieve. The last thing she's thinking about is another man. She still wants the man that she had. She's still thinking about the man that she had. The guy hasn't been gone a week. It reminded me at work when somebody gets fired, you see them box up their stuff, but they had the nice computer monitor, and so you try to go get their monitor before the box even leaves the room. That's funny at work. It's not funny in real life, bro. And I know he's young and he's dumb and he should know better and he should be doing better, but just the level of disrespect. And if you listen to the video, he has people in the video saying, too soon, bro, too soon. He's like, nah, I just want to holler at her. Just be her friend. Bro, it's 2019. Nobody is falling for the let me just be her friend. That is the I'll just put the tip in of relationships. Nobody's falling for that, bro. Everybody knows that once you become the friend, you're going to want to put the boy in front of it and be her boy friend. Boy, stop. It's not happening, Kodak. And just the amount of disrespect that you have for someone who lost someone so dear to them, you should know better. I know you've lost people before. I know you lost friends before. Think about how that makes you feel when someone is stepping all over their name and disrespecting them or their families and the loved ones that they left behind. You shouldn't have did that. I think you know you shouldn't have did that. And I think you owe Lauren and her family an apology. And I owe you this wow.
Wow.
Oh my God. Wow.
So that was a disrespectful wow. I have a respectful wow. I don't know if you can respectfully say to someone, bro, you just chose whackness over wisdom. That was dumb. You shouldn't have did that.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
But I have to give this to Kevin Hart. Now, Kevin Hart is the man. You see, I'm copping pleas already. I'm about to build this up just so that, like, it doesn't sound as bad. I'm trying to soften the blow, but the blow is going to be a blow anyway, right? Kevin Hart is a great comedian. He is a pioneer in a lot of ways, and he puts on a great show. I've been to see him live, and when I went to see him live, it was the theatrics. It was the movie in front of it. I think it was Let Me Explain or What Now, where he had the movie with Halle Berry in the beginning. I can't remember what it is, and I do this podcast alone, so I can't yell at anybody to, like, look it up for me. But whatever one it was, he did a great job. The theatrics were there. He had fireworks and missiles flying all over the arena. And he had a nice stage, and the backdrop of the stage, like, you know, was like animated, and it turned into whatever he was talking about. You know, he talked about, he had a joke about going out to get the trash at the end of his not so well lit driveway. And at the end of that driveway, you know, and the animals that were there and all of that kind of stuff. And it was really dope. And this one wasn't that. I feel like that special, whichever one it was, What Now or Let Me Explain or whatever that one was, I feel like that was his peak. That was his comedic peak. It was the orangutan, really? That joke, I think, we saw Kevin Hart peak. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Kevin Hart has hit his peak as a comedian, a stand-up comedian. That doesn't mean that he won't break new ground. One thing I'll say about his new stand-up special is I've never seen that many people in an arena at one time to do anything. Like, it was incredible. It seems like vertically, it just infinitely went up and went up into the sky. Like, it was people in a different galaxy watching Kevin Hart. It felt like it was as wide as London can be wide. I don't even know what that means, but it was just a lot of people in there. I felt like the venue was crazy. Shout out to him for that. I think he could go up there and just make faces for an hour and still sell out shows. But that's not why I'm giving him a wow award. I'm giving him a wow award for the actual jokes that he brought to the stage. They weren't bad jokes, but they for sure weren't good jokes, and they weren't Kevin Hart jokes. It started to make me wonder, like, maybe this is why Eddie Murphy only has 2 stand-up specials. Maybe, like, he hit his peak so early that he was just like, no, I'm done. I've done this as well as I could ever do it. I'm going to tap out right now. It actually allowed Chris Rock to rise higher up in my stand-up comedy hierarchy, and even Dave Chappelle. Like, Dave Chappelle just gave us 2 great ones, right? And then, you know, back in the day, he had Killing Me Softly, which I think is a great one. But Chris Rock has been able to put out classic after classic after classic, and the one that he put out most recently, Tambourine, although it's not a classic, I think it was very solid, polished work from a comedian of that level. One of those comedians that you would consider a GOAT, you would consider a great, you would consider on the Mount Rushmore of comedians. I think he delivered the way that he needed to deliver. Kevin didn't. Like, this set would have been good for an up-and-coming comedian. If DC Young Fly did this set, I would be like, yo, that boy DC on his way. Right? Because of the level that he's at. If Kev on stage or Jess Hilarious or Country Wayne did this set, I'm like, yo, all right, I see them. They on the come up. They still grinding. But when they've already reached a certain height, right, when they've already gone so far, it's like Russell Westbrook at this point getting a double-double. I'm not going to be excited about that. You've averaged a triple-double for the last three seasons, which is incredible, right? And I don't want to take away from anything Kev has done. Kev has done some really incredible work, and this one's not incredible, but it's good. But when you've done incredible, you can't get us to go gaga or go crazy over the things that are just okay. How much chatter have you heard about the new Kevin Hart stand-up special online? Oh, wait. Was it trending? Not where I was. Not on my Twitter. Not on my Instagram. I didn't see it. The only person I seen talk about it was Kevin. And he didn't talk about it the way he normally talks about it. He normally goes hard. The reason why this is a wow award, but it's respectful, I think he chose whackness over wisdom in this case, where he knew those jokes weren't that funny. I think he knew that those jokes weren't top shelf jokes that he could bring to the table. I think if he's been focused on comedy and being the greatest comic he could possibly be, he doesn't put out that special with those jokes. But I also noticed there's a difference with this too. He didn't have even the theatrics that you would expect from a Kevin Hart special that we've come to expect, because he set up the table so well to say, this is the standard of what you should expect when I come out to do stand-up. Now, is he wearing himself too thin? He has shows that come out every week on YouTube. He has Cold as Balls. He has the fitness show that he's doing. He has another interview show that he's doing. Plus, he's doing stand-up specials. Plus, he's doing movies. He's got Jumanji coming out. He's got this movie, that movie, that movie. Is he spreading himself too thin? Does he not have time to focus on the jokes the way that he used to? Are things tightening up at home, and so he has to be at home and be with his wife, and maybe that's not allowing him the space and opportunity to create like he was? I don't know what it is, but I know that wasn't the Kevin Hart that is possible, that's out there, that we've seen and we've gotten before. That's not the Kevin Hart that I saw on stage in Indianapolis, Indiana. And the special starts out with him literally telling his wife he's going to go. Babe, I'm going to go upstage. Like, she don't know what they're there for. And then he gets into a box and they wheel him out to the middle of the stage in this box. And when that happens, I'm like, oh, snap. This is about to be crazy. I'm expecting a movie. Somewhere Jackie Chan is going to be there. I don't know why. It feels like an action movie and Jackie Chan and, you know, Kevin Hart are going to be there together. I don't know why. So I'm expecting Jackie Chan. I'm expecting The Rock to jump out at some point. I'm expecting the theatrics. This is his first special that he's done for Netflix. And none of that happened. He just got wheeled in a box out to the stage and then walked on stage and started telling some very subpar jokes. And then I started to think, well, maybe why he held it back. You know, my conspiracy theory brain kept in. Maybe he held it back because this isn't his special special. Like, it's a special, but it ain't a special special. This is a special that he just did for Netflix, because Netflix was like, I'm going to cut you the check. And he's like, all right, I don't want to do it, but here, you can have it. It's like when your brother, your sister asks you for some chips and they keep asking you, you don't really want to give them none, so you just give them the crumbs at the bottom. It's like, all right, take this. It's not my best work, but you're going to cut the check. Here, you can have it. And then maybe he's going to follow up with like his real special special, maybe later this year. That's the only thing that I'm holding out hope for right now, because that one wasn't it. And I think Kev knows it wasn't it. I think his crew knows it wasn't it. I think Netflix is going to know very soon. That ain't it, bro. I didn't even see hate. At least when a comedian comes out, like, you should see hate. There's a healthy amount of hate that you should see online. It's like, I don't like the way you said that. I don't like the way you did that. I don't like the way you approached that joke, right? One thing as comedians try to do is approach subjects that are unapproachable and make them funny, humanize them, make them laughable, right? And if you're a safe comedian, which I feel like Kevin was very safe and very boring, you don't even try to approach those subjects because they're too risky, right? And it seems like he just did this one because he wanted to, he couldn't be risky, right? He wanted to put something out because he said he would, because Netflix was cutting a check. But I don't think this was a passion product. This wasn't the typical Heartbeat production that we're used to seeing. And for that, Kevin,
wow,
you got to get a WOW Award, man.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Now, I really tried to rationalize this for myself, and this is where I get into my deep dive for the week. I really tried to rationalize this for myself when I'm listening to Kevin, looking at how he's doing things and looking at, you know, just kind of the way that he's moving now. Just as an entertainer, right? Let's remove the, just don't look at him through the lens of a comedian, just as an entertainer as a whole. And maybe what he's doing is spreading himself too thin because he's breaking new ground. And it's so important for Black people, and specifically Black people, but really any minority group to break ground, right? I was watching something the other day, and they were asking Jay-Z if he was disappointed in the presidency of Barack Obama. And his answer was no, because the fact that you have a Barack Obama provides hope, and his presence, just being alive, is a gift, right? Jay-Z, to come from Marcy Projects, to come from, you know, this poor neighborhood in Brooklyn where violence and drugs are prevalent, and to make it out of that and make it to a position where he can run his own businesses legitimately and employ his people legitimately and have them become millionaires on his way to a billion. Like, the fact that that happens and he looks like you is hope and presence enough. And I think that's a super important and valuable lesson, especially considering what happened to Nipsey Hussle this last Sunday. Now, for those of you who don't know, Nipsey Hussle was a rapper, a community leader, an entrepreneur, and I will say before he passed, he was an up-and-coming, soon-to-be icon. I think he was the fulfillment of Tupac's dream. And I will say now he stands as an icon, unfortunately, to his untimely death. He was murdered by someone that he knew, someone in his neighborhood, someone that honestly should have looked up to Nipsey as that beacon of hope, but instead looked at him as a reflection of what he could never be and what he could never become. And so instead of taking hold to the dream that Nipsey had, he took his life instead. And that happened on Sunday. And my immediate reaction was sadness. My immediate reaction was disbelief. This can't be real. Why did this have to happen? Why Nipsey? You know, he's doing so many good things in his community. He's doing so many good things for his people and for people that look like him, and even for people that don't look like him, that just come from the type of environments he comes from. And it took me that night into the next morning to realize what really happened. And not as far as the exchange between him and Eric Holder, not as far as, you know, was this business related, gang related, all the conspiracy theories, which I think is flat out disrespectful. This is not a time for conspiracy theories, right? This is a time for everybody to try to mourn the loss of someone who was living a dream that I feel like we all should be trying to pursue and all trying to fulfill, and try to figure out how we can pick up the pieces of the mantle that he was carrying to make sure that other people are able to carry out that dream. Because one of the biggest things as a community, outside of the people that know him personally, outside of his friends and his family and his loved one, we lost a symbol of hope. And that's really important when you're a minority. When I look at different businesses and even different business opportunities, I'm looking for a symbol of hope of what's possible. I just want to know what's possible. It doesn't have to be the majority. Show me one person that looks like me, that shares my cultural or worldview experiences, or that comes from where I come from and the environment that I come from, that I can identify with some of the struggles and hardships that for whatever reason has been placed upon me in this life. Show me one person that has made it to the level that I wanted to seek to, and I believe I can make it to. It's disheartening when you look at different organizations or different entities, different industries, and there's no one that looks like you or no representation of your struggle or your experience at the top. No one doing what you want to do. And so that's why when we get someone, we hold on tight to them, because it doesn't happen every day. Yes, we have Barack Obama. Yes, we have Martin Luther King. What do we have in between, though? You ever think about that? Like, what would show me as a black man in this world that I could achieve great things on a national or international level outside of standing behind a mic or shooting a jumper? It's not a lot of them. So when we get one, even if they do shoot the jumper, even if they do throw a football, even if they do catch and run a football, even if they swing a baseball bat, even if they stand behind a microphone, when we get one, we want to hold on tight to them, because they show people worldwide, but definitely those in their community, this is what's possible. I grew up on the streets you grew up on. I went to the schools you went to. I ate the free lunch that you ate. I saw the gang violence that you saw. I share your experience. I was scared just like you were scared, but I made it. Nipsey made it to a point where he could employ other people. He made it to the point where he could look at his neighborhood and say, man, this ain't right. My people live in this neighborhood but can't work in this neighborhood. Boom, let me open up a store. In that store, I'm going to employ people from my neighborhood. It's going to be a family-owned business. In that store, I'm also going to have a section of clothing that is for the homeless, for the less fortunate. Make sure that it's affordable. That's not enough. I'm also going to open up a restaurant, because you got to have a place to eat. I'm going to do this right in my neighborhood. I'm going to make sure that I also hire people from within the neighborhood to run the restaurant. Now I'm bringing money to the hood. I'm employing people. I'm bringing jobs to my neighborhood. He's building up independence. He's keeping the dollar circulating in his community. I'm going to buy low-income housing to make sure that not only do you have a place to go to work, you have a place to go to eat, but you also have a place to go home to at night. These are the things that he was doing. Forget the music. The music was incredible. Forget the music. Just for a second. He was doing all of these things at the young age of 33. I'm 32 next week. 6 days from today, I'm 32. He's a year older than me, already accomplished all of these things. And so when you kill someone like that, you kill the hope that they represent. There's some people right now saying, see, that's why I don't do it. That's why I don't try. That's why I don't give it my all. That's why I haven't finished that idea yet, because that's what they do to you. That's how they treat you when you try to rise above it. And I want to be very clear about this. One of the biggest reasons why we can't make progress is because we're looking at the wrong problem and coming up with the wrong solution. We're looking at the wrong problem and we're coming up with the wrong solution. When we look at the situation of black progress, minority progress, or lack thereof, we always point the blame in one direction, and that's the white people. The white man is holding us down. The system that the white man created is holding us down. And we keep trying to fight the white man, and that's the wrong fight. Because even in that fight, just saying the white man eliminates the allies that we would have. It actually, our anger towards the quote-unquote white man that's keeping us down actually causes fear to our allies. And when someone is fearful of you, they're less likely to help you. The white man isn't the problem. There's only three type of people in the world, and it's not black and white. It's three types of people. It's good people, it's evil people, and the people that are scared. The good people are going to ride for good. They're going to stand up for good. They're going to make sure that they're good and their people are good. And whatever is the good thing, that's the thing that they're going to do, anything in their power to happen, regardless of what the times are, regardless of what their environment is. They are down for good. The bad people are bad because it works to their advantage. They figured out a way to be bad, to keep you down, to make sure that they can continue to stay up. And they don't feel like you can be up together. They feel like they need to be up and you need to be down. Our president said that. A good deal is the only deal when someone loses and it can't be him, right? He's got to win. It's not a win-win situation in his eyes. Someone's got to be beaten down so he can stand taller. He said that. I didn't. So if that's your president, you feel away. Oh, well. He said that. Those are the evil people. They don't believe in community. They don't believe in humanity. They believe in let me tear everyone else down so I could stand taller. They don't believe in building the biggest building in town by building the biggest building in town. They believe that they should build the biggest building in town by tearing down all the other big buildings. I don't subscribe to that. And then you have your weak people. Your weak people will just go along with whatever, whichever way the wind's blowing. Oh, what are we doing? Slavery? I don't think that's right, but okay, I'll try it. I'll go along. What are we doing? Abusing women? Making the workplace unsafe, uncomfortable for women? Okay, I guess I won't say anything. I don't believe in it, but I won't mention it. If I say something, they're going to take my job away. If I say something, it's going to be trouble. My family's not going to be able to eat. I guess I'll go with it. Those are the weak people. And when we look at these problems, it's not a white versus black issue. It's a good versus evil issue. A dude to kill Nipsey was influenced by evil, period. It wasn't a white guy that did it. It wasn't a white guy that was the puppet master behind the system forcing him to do it. There's no white government conspiracy theory that you can dig up saying that he did it. I'm not buying any of that. That's how they trick us every time. And when I say they, I mean the evil people. That's how they trick us every single time. And I get it, man. It's easy to believe a conspiracy theory when your people have been constantly hunted and haunted for your entire existence. Don't you think I know that there's people out to get me just because of how I look? But do you know that all those people that do that, they have one thing in common? And it's not the color of their skin. Because there's some people that look like me that don't want me here too. What they have in common is the evils. The evil influence. It's only two influences in the world, man. There's no in between. There's darkness and then there's light. That's it. I even think about Lil Nas X and his song that's ringing off right now, Old Town Road. Song is incredible. I've been listening to that song nonstop for the last week. First in my headphones, first to myself. It was one of those things where I was kind of like embarrassed that I liked it because it was just so simple and the song is like a minute and a half long. And that song starts to climb up the charts in country music because there's a country song and country says, nope, you can't be here. This isn't your water fountain. You can't sit at this desk corner. You can't sit at this countertop. You can't stand right here. You can't sit on this part of the bus. That music doesn't belong here. How messed up would it have been for this kid, and he is a kid, to take on the same attitude that I see some of you online have of F the white man, F the system, instead of just saying, forget evil, F evil. He took a different route. He had allies that didn't look like him coming to his defense. I heard Elvis Duran saying, you know what? That's a country song to me. I'm going to keep playing it on my radio. Every time you tune into my radio station, you're going to hear that song. I heard other radio station DJs, disc jockeys, supporting him, saying, that's a country song. I don't know what else is a country song. And then another ally stepped in with Billy Ray Cyrus jumping on a song and lighting the remix up. I like the song even more now. The song is incredible. It's called Old Town Road. If you haven't heard it, look it up. It's Lil Nas X, LilNas, the letter X, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, Old Town Road remix. Incredible song, and it shows black progress, minority progress. By properly identifying the evils that exist, not as a monolith, all evils aren't sourced from the same place. It's not just one race of people that are influenced by evil. All humans can be influenced by evils. Our fight is not with people who have different skin colors than us or different genitalia than us. That's not our fight. Our fight is against the evils. And I hope through this episode, some of you guys were able to realize that and see that and start to look at the world just a little bit different. That's my hope. All right, I'm out. Got a little too deep for y'all. It's post midnight. I gotta go. I hope you guys have a blessed and beautiful Sunday. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony R. Sanders. I would love to know your thoughts. Hit me up on Instagram at Tony R. Sanders. Watch out for my daily clips. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's gonna be more content on that channel as the year rolls on. So please look out there. And I will see you guys next week. Peace.